Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're thrilled to have you join our community. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or our guest speakers bring the Bible's timeless truths to life, offering messages that are not just inspiring, but deeply relevant to your daily journey. Whether you're joining us in Airdrie or tuning in from anywhere around the world, we hope these sermons encourage you, strengthen your faith, and help you feel more connected to Jesus and to us. Thanks for being part of our Hillside family. Let's grow together in faith and love. As family, we go.
This week, if you'd like to follow along in God's Word or join me in God's Word, you can turn to Matthew chapter 4. This week, we're actually going to be looking at a passage we looked at a couple weeks ago, actually in the second part of our series, but this week we're going to return back to there. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at this great commission. This call that Jesus gave to his first call followers, this charge that as Jesus' time with them was coming to an end, Jesus would gather his closest followers together, and he would give them this mission, this co-mission, this charge, this responsibility. He would say to them, "This is what I have for you." Because in their lives were going to change in ways that they could never imagine. And they were going to get pulled in different directions, and they were going to go places, they were going to see things, their lives were going to change in ways that they could never in foresight see coming. And God wanted to have this thing where that they could come back to, so that wherever they went and whatever they got up to, they would be able to return to this call, this mission, this reason. And God gives that to us for the same reason as well, because your life has been and your life will continue to be on this trajectory that we really don't know about, that we don't know what the future has in store. We don't know where we're going to be. We don't know what we're going to be doing. We don't know what our life, we may have a plan for 5 years from now. But it may, in 5 years, it may not look like what it looks like. If we go back 5 years ago, none of us could have predicted the last 5 years and all that's gone on in our world, all that's gone in our lives. Some of you cannot believe in this moment right now you're sitting in this church, in this place, in this part of the world. It was not your plan. And yet, here you are. That our lives are going to be pulled in all of these different directions as we go through life, as we experience life. Our lives are going to go in all kinds of different directions. And what God wants for us is to have this thing that we can come back to, that we can be reminded that whatever it is we're doing as a career, wherever it is that we're living, whatever it is that our life looks like, that we don't have to constantly be quiet. Well, I wonder what God has for me now. But that we could come back to this point, that as the disciples ended up in Rome, and they ended up in Turkey, and they ended up in India, and they ended up all over the globe where these humble fishermen never thought they would go, they were able to come back to the words of Jesus. And Jesus gives you this and gives us this as well, so that's true for each one of us. That is, as our lives change, as the place where we live changes, as our career changes, as our life changes before us, we can come back to the words of Jesus that remind us of his call on our lives and what we're to be about today. And so in Matthew chapter 29, starting at verse 19, Jesus says this: "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." This was Jesus' call on his followers from the very beginning. And if you've put your faith in Jesus, if you call him your Lord and Savior, if you confess him as your Lord and Savior, it's his plan for you as well. That you would be a disciple maker. And we've spent the last few weeks just going over this idea of what it means for you and I in our lives to be a disciple maker. And trying to walk through and wade through this perception that we can have that this isn't a super overwhelming call. that it can feel like too much, that we can feel disqualified, we can feel unqualified, we can feel like God has called some, but he has not called me because I don't have what it takes to do this. And for our times together, we've been trying to tear down some of this thought process, trying to tear down these ideas that you have to be more than you are in order to do what God has called you to do. That for some of us, maybe we're at a place where we can do that, but for me and in my life, I can't be who God has called me to be. I can't be that. And this week, there's one more piece of understanding discipleship that I want to talk to us about. Next week, we'll wrap up this sermon series next week, but we're going to take it in a very different direction next week. We're going to be exploring the promises that God makes in our lives when we walk out his call on our lives. But for this week, I want to take a little bit of one more look at sort of tearing down some understanding of what it means for us to do what God has called us to do, and then maybe rebuilding it in a different way. And so we're going to do this not by looking at some of Jesus's last words to his followers. We're going to do this by looking at some of Jesus's first words to his followers. And that's where we go to Matthew chapter 4, starting at verse 18, where it will say this. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who would later be called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And when we first looked at this passage a few weeks ago, we talked about all that it means that they were fishermen and the cultural significance and the importance of the fact that the first followers of Jesus were fishermen. But Jesus, as he's walking along the shore, comes across these fishermen. And this is what we see take place. It says, then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, depending on your translation, depending on which translation of the Bible you're reading, it may say something like, and I will send you out to fish for people. Or it may say, I will show you how to fish for people. And I specifically wanted to highlight this verse in this translation that uses this translation because this translation is right. The Greek word that's used is poieo, and poieo means make. It doesn't mean show, it doesn't mean send, it doesn't mean anything other, it's literally just the Greek word to make. So when it says, and I will make you a fisher of men, that is what it literally says. And this is the concept that I want us to see and I want us to understand today. This is our focus of our time together today because it gives us a deep insight into what God is really wanting to do in the lives of Simon and of Andrew, and by extension, how God is going to do the things in our lives that he's called us to do. We see that Jesus has this profound purpose for the life of Simon and Andrew, that Jesus shows up into their lives and says, I have this big thing for you. I've got this call on your life that is tremendously large. And we can see that it wasn't what they were doing now. Simon and Andrew weren't pursuing this. This wasn't sort of their thing that they had been working and building towards in their lives. They were doing a different job. It was something totally unique to them. But Jesus shows up and he has this thing for him. And he says to them, if you choose to come and follow me, if you choose to make your life about my call, then I will make you into fishers of men. But Jesus doesn't tell Simon and Peter, he doesn't say to, or Simon and Andrew, sorry, to come and follow me and we'll see if this works out. Come and follow me and we'll see how things play out. Come and follow me and we'll see if you've got what it takes. I'm assembling a team of people and we're going to pull you all together. And then from there, I'll decide which of you seem to be more inclined, which of you seem to have a natural inkling. Come and follow me and we'll see how this works out. He doesn't also come or say to them, come and follow me. And if you try really hard, and if you apply yourself in all the right ways, if you come and you put the work in, and you study up, and you work really hard, and you change everything about who you are, then maybe you can do this. But instead, what we see is something entirely different. That Jesus actually makes them a promise. That if they choose to follow Jesus in their lives, if they choose to say, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to follow you, then we see Jesus makes them a promise. Because he says to them, if you come and follow me, then I will make you into fishers of men. He would make them into the people Jesus needed them to be. Jesus says, follow me and I will make you. Follow me and I will make you. Jesus tells Simon and Andrew, if you choose to follow me, then I will do the hard work of transforming you into who I need you to be so that you can do what I've called you to do. And the reason why this is so important that we see this is because what we have to understand is that it's Jesus who takes on the responsibility of making. Jesus doesn't give Simon and Andrew the responsibility. He says, if you do this, I will make you. Simon and Andrew, they're not called to make themselves into something useful without Jesus. Our Creator God said to them, I'm not done creating you. I've got more for you. I'm not done making you, but I will make you into something more. When it comes to us being called to make disciples, we're not called to somehow make disciples to hold up our end of the bargain. We're not called to somehow, Jesus says, I will love you, I will forgive you, I will have grace for you. At the end of your life, I will ensure you get to heaven if you make disciples for me. This isn't a transactional thing. We're not called to make these disciples for Jesus. We're not called to make disciples for Jesus. But the same way that Jesus was going to take on the responsibility of making Simon and Andrew into who they needed to be, Jesus takes on the responsibility for our ability to make and for our ability to make. Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples. And he's not calling you to do something apart from him. He's not calling you to go and be something apart from him. He's not calling you to go and do something without him. He's not calling us to be apart from him. But Jesus steps in and says that if we're willing to follow him, just like Simon and Andrew, then he's willing to take on our responsibility to make us and to make disciples. We are not called to make disciples for Jesus. We are called to make disciples with Jesus. Or perhaps a better way to say it is that Jesus has called us to allow him to use us to make disciples. Jesus' invitation is that for us to allow him to use us to make disciples. We're not called to make disciples for Jesus as if it's up to us. It's not meant to be because of us. It's not meant to be through us. We are called to make disciples with Jesus. He is the one who works through us. And this is important because the enemy wants you to believe that it's your responsibility. The enemy wants you to believe that you need to be the one doing this. The enemy wants you to believe that it's by your strength, by your effort, by your will, by your knowledge, by your ability that you can do these things. The enemy wants you to believe that you need to be able to do this on your own, because then the enemy can convince you that you can't. That the enemy will lie to you and tell you that you can't do it. He will begin to lie to you about what you are capable of. And maybe you've started to believe some of the lies that have been spoken over your life. You've started to believe the lies that the enemy was feeding you. Maybe at first you were able to say, no, I know that's not true. I know that's a lie. That's not what God would say about me. But after the 30th time, after the 40th time, after the 60th time, you started to believe that you were too stupid. You started to believe that you were too weak. You started to believe that you didn't have anything going for you. My friends, sometimes we engage in too much conversation with the enemy. If you can repeat the phrases over your life that the enemy wants you to believe about your life, you've been engaging in too much conversation with the enemy. If you've begun to believe the truth about yourself that doesn't sound like God's truth, then you've been engaging in too much conversation with the wrong voice. If the way that you believe about yourself, if the things you believe to be true about yourself don't sound like what God would say about you, you've been engaging in too much conversation with the wrong voice. You've been listening to the wrong voices about yourself. You've not been listening to God. And my friends, we need to have less conversations with the enemy about who we are. We need to have less conversations with the enemy about what we're capable of. And we need to have more conversations with God about what he believes to be true about us, about what he believes to be true about you, about what he believes you're capable of, about what he believes you can do. Because the voices in our lives that cause us to have insecurity, that cause us to have doubt, that cause us to have fear, that cause us to question whether or not God can use us, that's not the voice of God. But the voice of God in our lives never leaves you afraid, never leaves you doubting, never leaves you worried. The voice of God leaves you built up, encouraged, strengthened, believing in you and what you are capable of. That's what God wants to speak to you today. And so what we need to see is that this invitation that we see in Matthew chapter 4, the calling that Jesus gives us in Matthew chapter 28, this isn't the destination. This is an invitation. And we don't want to get this mixed up. The invitation is not the destination. It's like Jesus inviting us to the starting line of this thing. This thing that Jesus wants to do. And because he has these plans and these things that he wants us to do in this world, in our world, and even though there's a long way to go, he wants to do it right alongside with you. His initial invitation to Simon and to Andrew was that if they would choose to live the lives that Jesus had for them, if they would choose to follow Jesus with their lives, then Jesus would work in them to enable them to do what he had called them to do. And this is where you and I, this is where we need to start. If we're going to be disciples, if we're going to make disciples, if we're going to fulfill the Great Commission, it starts with this. It starts with this question. It starts with us wrestling through this, because in some degree, every one of us wrestles with this question. And it's where we have to begin, and it's where we have to begin to place our trust. The question is this: are we willing to trust that God can do through me what God believes he can do through me? Am I willing to believe that God can do through me what God believes God can do through me? Because for so many of us, when God comes to us and says, this is what I have for you, our response is, God, I can't do that. God, I know you believe you can do that through me, but God, you don't know me. God, you don't know how bad I can fail. God, you don't know how broken and flawed I am. God, I don't know that you can do through me what you believe you can do through me. We need to leave behind whatever beliefs we have about our own inadequacies and our own failings, and recognize that if we're going to be makers of disciples based on our own giftings, our own abilities, our own knowledge, and our own strength, then we are never going to make disciples. But that's not what we've been called to do. You haven't been called to make a disciple because you're so great. You've been called to make a disciple because Jesus wants to do it through you. And if we choose to walk in what God has for us, God says, I will do this through you. Instead, it starts with us being able to say to Jesus, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do this. I don't know how you're going to use me. Lord, I don't even know why you chose me. But if you believe I can do it, all right. We don't have to have this overwhelming confidence to be able to, of course God chose me. I'm wonderful. But we can say, God, I don't know why. But God, I believe you can do through me the same things you believe you can do through me. It's the foundational thing that we have to be willing to wrap our minds and our hearts around. Because when we look at who Simon and Andrew were, they were not who they needed to be. When God called Simon, who would later become Peter, he wasn't this fully formed package of amazingness. Over this year, we've been walking through the life of Peter at our men's breakfasts. And yesterday we had a tremendously wonderful men's breakfast in the midst of the ceiling leaking all over us. But we talked about Peter. And we've talked about these amazing moments and these difficult moments. These hard moments and these celebration moments in his life. And what we see is that Peter took some time. See, when Jesus invited Simon and Andrew into this relationship and said, I want you to come and follow me, and if you do that, I will do something great for you. What do you think they were feeling in that moment? When they went to bed that night and they laid their head down on their pillow, what do you think they were expecting? What do you think was going through their mind? Can you imagine them thinking about what all of this could mean? As they lay in bed and they think to themselves, how could that guy use me to do that? How could he choose me? Why would he choose me? And maybe the enemy begins to speak to them about all the reasons that they can't be used. And he reminds them, you're dirty, stinky fishermen. No one wants to be near you, not just metaphorically, but you stink. How are you going to reach out to people? How are you going to talk to people when you smell so bad? You're uneducated. You're poor. Your district, no one's going to listen to you. Who's going to listen to you? You're looked down on by everyone. You're ceremonially unclean. That means you can't even go to the temple, and you want to be a religious teacher? Clearly, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. If he's asked you to be involved, clearly, this is only destined to fail. But if we look at what happened, or maybe if we look at what didn't happen, we get a picture of what it looks like when Jesus is at work in our lives. See, Simon and Andrew, they didn't wake up the next morning as completely different people. They didn't wake up the next morning and go out and find Jesus, and suddenly they smelled better. And they dressed better. And suddenly they were smarter. And suddenly they had it all together. And suddenly they were pleasant to be around. And suddenly they made all the right choices and never said anything wrong. And suddenly they were all just completely fully formed package. Suddenly they were more educated. Suddenly they were cleaner. Suddenly they were not so smooth, or they were suddenly they were so smooth around the edges instead of rough. See, Jesus didn't just change them in an instant. He didn't just make them into something new. But instead, Jesus invited them to walk with him for 3 years. To sit back, to observe, to watch what he did, to see how he engaged people, to watch how he loved people, how he had compassion for people. And over a process of time, through the work of the Holy Spirit, they began to become who they needed to be. Not through miraculous transformation, but through what we've been talking about. Through making disciples. Jesus made disciples. Jesus modeled for us what it looks like to make a disciple. And my friends, if we choose to go on this road with Jesus, he's going to stretch us, and he's going to do things in us, and he's going to do things through us that you will have never imagined for yourself. There's a verse in the Bible, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, that we love to quote to each other because it's a beautiful promise. It's an incredible promise, especially when we're trusting in God for things that seem too big. And we will say that he is able to do more than we can ask or imagine. That God is able to do more than we can ask or imagine. So you don't have to be afraid to ask God for that thing, because he can do more than you can ask for. He can do more than he can imagine. And that's good, and that's right, and that's what that verse is saying. But we tend to stop there because the next little part, I think, makes us scared. Because what it says is he's able to do more than you can ask or imagine through his power at work in you. And so as we walk in who God has called us to be, as we say to God, God, I am going to follow your call on my life. I'm going to do what Simon and Andrew did, and I'm going to follow you. We're going to see God do more than we ever thought or ever imagined he could do in our lives. And over time, God will make us into disciples. And over time, he will use us to make disciples. My hope for us is this, that as we've walked through this series, as we've spent this time looking at what it looks like to make a disciple, and the more that we've talked about how you and I, how we're actually capable of doing this thing that God has called us to do, that God would be doing something in your hearts and in your life. The more convinced and convicted maybe that you would be that you are truly capable of being who God has called you to be. And as you grow closer to him, and you will grow closer to this understanding that we were called, designed, and created and built by God to make disciples. My prayer is this, that you've come to see that you can be who God has called you to be. That you can do what God has called you to do. Because it's Jesus who's making you into that person. And so three takeaways for our time together today. First, Jesus doesn't just call. He promises to make. Jesus' invitation, follow me and I will make you. It's not just a call to action, but a promise of transformation. Discipleship begins not with our own effort or our own ability, but with a surrendered heart. The work of being made into a disciple and being made into a disciple maker is something that Jesus himself takes the responsibility for. He doesn't just call us to do something for him, but he commits to doing something with us. We make disciples with Jesus, not for Jesus. We're not sent out to accomplish the Great Commission in our own strength, by our own strength. The call to make disciples, it's not an independent task, it's a partnership. Jesus is not asking us to succeed on his behalf. He's asking us to follow him and allow him to work through us. Our role is obedience and trust. He provides the power and the transformation. And lastly, God's voice defines us. Nothing else. Many of us may feel disqualified because of past failures, insecurities, or the lies that we've internalized. But Jesus' call to Simon and Andrew shows us that he doesn't choose only the qualified, but he qualifies everyone he chooses. We need to stop listening to the voice of the enemy and start hearing the voice of the one who made us. Discipleship begins when we let go of the lies and lean into God's truth about who we are and who we're becoming. Let's pray together. God, I thank you that for each one of us, God, I thank you that when you look at us, that when you see us, God, that you believe in us so much more than we believe in ourselves. That when you look at us and you see us, God, you believe that we are capable of so much more than we believe we're capable of. God, I thank you that when you call us, God, you call us to so much more than we would ever be able to see in and of ourselves. God, I thank you that you have more faith in us than we ever will. And God, I thank you that as Psalm 139 will say, God, that you knit us together. God, that means that you made us with purpose and intention. And that means that you actually know us better than we know ourselves. And so, God, I thank you that we don't have to question or wonder whether or not we can do what you've called us to do. But God, I thank you that we can trust that you know what we're capable of more than we know what we're capable of. But God, we also recognize that we can struggle so much with believing in ourselves, with believing in who we are called and created to be, with believing in what we're capable of. God, that we can struggle so much with insecurity and fear and doubt about who I am and what I can do. God, we know that we have an enemy who wants to rob us of who we were created to be. And so, God, I pray for all of those today who would struggle with the voice of the enemy in their lives, who would struggle with the things they've been told, who would struggle with being told, you can't do this for one reason or another. You can't do this because you don't know enough. You can't do this because you're not smart enough. You can't do this because of all the times you failed. You can't do this because you're not right. God, I thank you that in you, we are made right. That we're not called to do what we're called to do because you've chosen us to do it in our own strength. But God, I thank you that you have called each one of us. And God, your commitment to us is that when we choose to respond to that call, when we choose to follow after you, God, your commitment to us is that you will then make us into the people we're created to be. And so God, I pray for each one of us gathered here today. God, would you begin to make us? God, would you begin to show us how you can make us? Would you begin to give us the confidence that you can make us? And God, I pray for each one of us gathered here today. God, may we be able to walk with confidence, with boldness, with assurance that as we walk through life, God, we're not doing it in our own power. We're not doing it in our own greatness. We're not doing it in and of ourselves. But God, that we have been called and created and purposed, and we are being made into people to be all that we've been called to be. God, I thank you for how you choose to partner with each one of us. And God, I thank you that your promise to us is as you work in us and through us, God, that you would make us into everything we're called and created to be. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. Send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting Our Church in the main menu, then Our Leadership from the drop-down. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know His hope, know His purpose, and know His power together. As family, we go.